Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Derek Rydahl, and we're going to be talking about his new book, The Abundance Project, 40 Days to More Wealth, Health, Love, and Happiness. The Abundance Project is about having more than enough in every area of your life, more than enough money, time, love, creativity, happiness. Regarding the circumstances of your life that you have been through or are currently facing, sorry about that. This may sound like a wishful thinking, but once you understand what you're really made of and what the source of real abundance is, you will increase your capacity to unleash your divine inheritance. As a spiritual practitioner and teacher, Derek has held leadership positions at Agape International Truth Center, one of the nation's largest and fastest-growing spiritual communities with more than 10,000 members and a vast worldwide network. He has been a star speaker at top entertainment expos, led sold-out courses at the Learning Annex, drawn standing-room-only crowds at events in the U.S. and abroad, done interviews on numerous radio and TV programs, and continues to coach, motivate, and inspire thousands of individuals through his own communities. For more information about the book, you can visit the website, which is theabundanceprojectbook.com, and I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Derek to the show. Good day, sir.
Thank you. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
It is my pleasure, too. And one of the things I also forgot to mention is you're a podcast host, that you have one of the top-rated podcasts, Emergence Podcast, and I want to talk about that later in the show. But needed to add
Absolutely. That to your list.
I have
two of them now, actually. I have the Emergence, just called Emergence, and also now the Abundance Project podcast as well.
Well, boy, you're a busy guy. Great. Well, anyway, I'm really glad to speak with you. You know, abundance is one of those issues that so many people struggle with and sometimes don't understand fully. But, hopefully by the end of today's podcast, they'll be able to have a clearer understanding of what that's all about. So let's first start with, what was the inspiration for you writing this particular book?
Well, the first inspiration that led to all of this was the work that the kind of a spiritual breakdown breakthrough that led me to discover what I came to call the law of emergence. And that occurred when I was drowned in a coral reef and had what you could call a near-death or near-life experience, and saw this new paradigm of transformation. And it was so radical that it caused me to pull out of society and try to become a monk and ultimately to go into sort of a monastic way of life in my own home and try to figure out what the heck happened to me in that very shocking experience. And I came out of that with the law of emergence and this whole new model that we don't grow and evolve by trying to go get things or achieve things or even attract things, but that like a seed, everything is already in us. And when we cultivate the congruent conditions, the conditions that are in harmony with that seed of potential in us, it unfolds like every other seed. And as I was teaching that work and really just living it first to see what was really true about it, I then discovered that there was a piece within that that is what I call the abundance principle. And I created my most successful program, Awakened Wealth, from that, and then eventually, you know, realized it was making such a difference in people's lives that my publisher thought the book, you know, to get it into the hands of more people was the next thing to do, and that led to the Abundance Project, the new book.
That's great, yeah, and it really does lay out a plan for the reader to follow. And so now, 40 days, any particular reason why that length of time?
Yeah, well, you know, 40 is a mystical number. It's a number of completion, and it is the number that I had used in all the times I would teach it. I would create this 40-day program for people. And I do want to make one distinction, because some people will get on, and you know, especially some of the interviews where they like to challenge things, and they're like, really, 40 days changing all these things, right? And I say, well, it doesn't say 40 days to all the wealth, health, love, and happiness you could ever have. It says 40 days to more wealth, health, love, and happiness, or whichever category is most important to you. And that period of time has been shown to me to be a sufficient period of time to make a significant shift in those areas. And again, it's not about solving everything, healing everything, or achieving everything, but it's really about building a new foundation, a new habit, a new mindset or heart set that has more momentum on the side of abundance and expansion versus where a lot of people's momentum is, which is on the side of protection or fear or limitation. And then we're always trying to compensate for that. So that period really allows you to turn the ship around and start really getting your life moving in an upward spiral rather than a downward spiral. And a lot of people have tremendous breakthroughs. You know, some of them have what could be considered miraculous, and some of them just heal really deep-seated issues around wealth and success and abundance and believing that they really can have enough in their life. And if you can achieve that shift, really know that you can have enough, really know that you were designed for enough, and really also begin to know that circumstances and conditions actually can't prevent that. Now you are on the path to freedom.
Yeah, that, you know, I can understand, you know, that period just being kind of like the starting point, the point where people would be able to recognize the shift, you know, and then keep working in that direction.
Well, I'll even add one other thing, is that a lot of people, probably a lot of your listeners, have done a lot of work already on themselves, or they've even, you know, just prayed and affirmed and desired and intended and cried out even when their back was against the wall, there's got to be something better for me. And every time that you do that, you're activating the abundance principle. But what happens is, because your life isn't necessarily in alignment with it, your current way of thinking and feeling and being is probably often more aligned with, like I said, safety, security, comfort, protection. That energy that you activate, that abundance you activate through those desires and affirmations, can't express fully. And I think a good analogy is like a hose, where you're turning it up, and it's not coming out, and then you realize it's got a bunch of kinks in it, and now you unkink it, and it explodes out of the nozzle because it had built up. And so for some people, they've got all this abundant energy that's in an escrow account that they just haven't access and express, right? And so sometimes when they start to do this work, they start to bring themselves back into alignment and harmony with what's really true about them. And because they've already done so much work, they suddenly sometimes experience very dramatic shifts and very dramatic demonstrations or manifestations in their lives. And so and that occurs all the time. And for other people, the path takes a little bit longer. And usually that's because there's some deeper issues to work out, and which ultimately means there's even a greater potential on the other side of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm confident that a lot of my listeners have done a lot of work because I have. The host
right.
has presented many a show about doing the work. So I know that's the case. So I guess what would be your definition of abundance? I mean, it's not strictly money, correct?
Correct, yeah. Well, my definition of abundance in general, there's two ways I define it. One is that abundance is the very substance of creation. And when I say creation, I don't just mean material creation, all of creation, you know, mental, emotional, physical, energetic, and material, and which are really all just part of the same thing, just on a spectrum of, you know, from the most etheric to the densest form. But it's the substance of all creation. And then the second way I would define it is to have abundance means you have all that you need to be and to do and contribute in the way you were born for, to live the life you're really here for. So it doesn't mean you have millions or billions. It doesn't mean you're on the cover of a magazine. It doesn't mean you have 1,000 friends. It just means just like an oak tree needs a certain amount of abundance to produce itself. It's different than a pine tree or an apple tree or a rose bush. But abundance means you uniquely have everything you need to be all that you were created to be.
Yeah. You know, in your book, kind of keeping with the tree thing, you spend some time focusing on the source of abundance. And in the book, you use an example of the apple and the tree, the chicken and the egg. And would you share with the listeners like how those examples fit in with, you know, the idea of source of abundance and something that you call the intelligent principle of creation?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a couple things we can kind of find our way into this, and a couple foundational ideas. The one is, you know, the kind of the post-Enlightenment era, the scientific belief or dogma is that life is material and that materiality gives rise to consciousness and intelligence, and that if you can't measure it, it doesn't exist. And the truth, as I've seen it and discovered it and ultimately all the great teachings express it, is it's exactly the other way around, that life is spiritual or invisible or energetic or consciousness, and that gives rise to material forms and expressions. And the one way I kind of, for lack of a better word, argue that with the scientific belief is the Big Bang, there was nothing, and then suddenly there was everything. You can't actually get anything from something that's actually nothing. So there was something. It just wasn't visible. It wasn't measurable. It wasn't in a form we can see. But there was something. There was a seed of an idea, the grand seed of creation, let's say, the same seed that spoke about in all the great religions. And then the conditions became right, and it expressed itself. So the truth is that everything we can see actually comes from that which we cannot see. And the deeper, just like you see an acorn, this little seed, and it becomes a mighty oak. And we know the pattern for the oak is already in the seed. It's already in the field, a quantum field, which scientists now understand has these patterns of potential. And Plato called it the realm of perfect forms. But we know we can see that all that we have in our life came from something we can't see. And so that principle is a real liberating truth because, as I say in it, be able to have all that you need regardless of the conditions you've been through or that you're facing, because we're not designed to create merely out of stuff that appears already. We're actually designed to create the same way the universe does, which is out of the seeming nothing, that out of the seeming void, which really is everything, pure energy, intelligence, and substance, we can produce and create everything that we need. And so it doesn't matter if your bank account's empty or you've been born on the wrong side of the tracks or whatever, or the economy's terrible or whatever is going on. When you tap into this real source of creation, which is within you, and you learn how to bring your life into alignment with it and believe more in what you can't see than what you can see, then you start to activate that energy and it starts to show up in your life. And that's the real secret. You know, that's what Jesus was talking about when they're all like, Master, how are we going to get this and the food and clothes and all this stuff? And he's like, stop worrying about all that. Seek first the kingdom of heaven within you and its righteousness, which means the right understanding of the principles, and those things will be added unto you. Now, that's all kind of religious language, but what he's basically saying is the same thing Buddha said and all the great masters, which is those things outside of you aren't the real thing. The real thing is in you. Make contact with that. Find your fulfillment in that, your joy, your peace, etc., and it will express itself according to your unique pattern and show up as abundance, as all your needs met. And so that's really what this source, this intelligence is, and what I like to say, learning to live more from insight than eyesight. And that's the flip I help people begin to make, which is stop looking at your bank account, your relationship situation, your life, and use that to determine what's true about you and what's possible for you.
Yeah. One of my listeners in the chat room, Corrine, kind of indicated she always says, the more you need on the outside, the less you have on the inside. So it kind of is the focus inward.
Absolutely. I would slightly modify that statement to say, the more you need on the outside, the less you are able to connect with everything you have on the inside, and then the less you end up expressing on the outside. So,
because it points to the fact that it's there, it's just connecting with it.
Exactly. I like to use an analogy like the radio. So we're doing a radio show, so to speak. I know radio is a little different nowadays. Is it online? Is it broadcast? But just the basic analogy is that right where we are literally enveloped in broadcast signals. And somewhere in that medley of signals, our favorite music is playing, let's say. It's right where we are right now, but it's not manifest until we tune the dial of our receiver so that our frequency matches the frequency of that broadcast, of that station. And as soon as our signal is the same signal as that station, the station becomes manifest. Or as I like to say, we have a manifestation. And but where was the music before that? It was right here. It wasn't in the future. It wasn't in the distance. We didn't have to attract it. We didn't have to earn it. We didn't have to improve ourselves into it. It was already here, but we had to be in alignment with that signal before it would become part of our experience. And this is what Jesus was also teaching when he said, it's all here. He says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but having eyes, you can't see it. Having ears, you can't hear it, et cetera. He was saying, you guys can't experience it because you're looking outside and you haven't tuned in to the signal that's already here. And once you do that, once you develop that ability to connect with that broadcast, that beat of abundance, that symphony of success, that rhythm of joy, it must become manifest as the music of your life. And it does.
Yeah. Now, with the idea of connecting to that internal source, it seems that sometimes what we think we want and need isn't maybe as clear as, it might not be as clear to us. So in what way is gaining the clarity as to really what we want or need, or desire, as opposed to, something, that is kind of three or four steps away from what that is?
Right. Well, there's a couple ways I can answer. The first thing I'll be, to be very honest and maybe a little controversial, is actually most people don't really have any idea what they really need. And the main reason for that is because we're deeply conditioned by this human material perception. In fact, rarely does anybody know what they need, because what we really need is a state of consciousness. You know, all 7+ billion people on the planet, the only thing we're ever really striving for is a state of being. You know, it's like the parable of the guy going to the Zen farmer, and he comes to the farmer's door and says, you know, can I have a job? And the Zen farmer says, I'll give you a job, but I won't pay you. What do you really need? And he goes, well, can I have the money then? And he goes, well, I'll give you the money, but I won't let you spend it. He's like, okay, what do you really need? Like, well, I need food. Okay, I'll give you food, but you can't eat it. He goes, what do you really need? And he keeps going and going until eventually the guy goes, I just need to feel I'm going to be okay. I just need to know that I'm okay. And it was like peace and a sense of well-being. And the Zen farmer goes, great. I can't give you that, though. And so what he ultimately realizes is that the peace and the well-being, he brought it with him. And it wasn't the food and the money and the job and all that. It doesn't mean we don't want those things, but the real need is that state of being. And again, that's why the great masters were trying to say, don't worry about all this stuff outside. Connect to the real thing you need. And then that quality, that frequency of joy, peace, well-being, fulfillment, abundance, the knowing that I'm in a friendly universe where I'm completely supported and supplied, that is the frequency of the station where all of your abundance is playing. And then it manifests according to your unique seed pattern as these outer things, money, opportunity, creativity, etc.
Okay.
And so that's one way to answer it. The other way I'll say is that even, and this, because this is important, because this stops a lot of people from going for it, is they keep going, well, is this goal or dream or vision my spirit talking or my ego talking? Or what if I'm wrong? What if this is the wrong thing to go for? And it stops and makes a lot of people stuck. But there's a fail-safe way to play with that, at least when you do it through the what I call the emergence paradigm, is whatever you think you want, start there. You know, articulate and define your highest possible goal or vision for your life, what I call the 100% dream, so that when you think about it, when you visualize it, when you imagine it, you're totally lit up. So find whatever that is, that it totally lights you up. Don't worry if it's right or wrong, but find that lights you up. And then as you do the work, it's not just about going for it outside of you. It's about developing a practice, which I outlined in the book, to develop the habits of thinking, feeling, being, and doing that are congruent with that vision. So, for example, let's say the vision that would light you up is, even if it's something seemingly totally material, like, oh, I want a mansion on a hill with millions of dollars and fame and fortune or whatever. And when you visualize and feel into it and imagine that, it lights you up. And as you really look at who am I in that vision, you see that you have certain habits of thinking. Maybe it's more optimistic. You look for opportunities rather than what's missing. Certain habits of feeling. There's a sense of joy, peace, power. Certain habits of being. Maybe you're being more creative, more generous, more confident, more playful. And then certain habits of doing. Maybe you notice in that vision you take time for yourself. You take time for self-care. You take time for loved ones. You take time for the creativity that matters most. Now you take those four quadrants and, you know, write them down, become very aware of it, and you look at it compared to what are your habits of thinking, feeling, being, and doing now. And you'll notice there's quite a gap, right? You'll notice that your mental habits now are looking for what's missing, looking for what's wrong, looking for what might go wrong. Your emotional habits might be fear, doubt, skepticism, and your habits of being might be kind of withholding or protective or safe, et cetera, et cetera. Or in the habits of doing is you find yourself wanting to take better care of yourself or be with people or do your passion, but you keep telling yourself, I don't have the time, the energy, the money, or the support to do it, and someday I will. And here's the challenge and the opportunity. When you start building the character of the person you would be and really bringing that to your life, regardless of conditions, you begin to activate that frequency or that vibration of the vision. And then even if the vision you had was quote-unquote wrong, as you integrate and embody and start to really express this new level, it will readjust you. It's kind of like a GPS, right? It starts to give you directions. And if you make a wrong turn, it recalculates and it shows you how to still get to where you want to go. So you don't have to worry that you might be going down some wrong paths. It will always reposition you again. And that's the key. If you're focused on the feeling, on being the right person more than it is on achieving the right goal, that will realign you ultimately. Your vision will change. Your desires will evolve.
Yeah. One of the topics that you cover in your book is called Abundance, Shadow, and Values Conflicts. And it mm-hmm. seems that kind of what you've just been talking a little bit about is that we are not being the what it is that we want to manifest, and many it may be because of some of these conflicts.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit, just a little bit about, you know, the idea of shadow and value conflicts, what they would be?
Yeah, absolutely. So just a super brief understanding of a shadow. When we're born and we start to go through life, let's say the first 3 to 7 years, we have available all of these qualities, but then we start having experiences that tell us this isn't okay to be, this is okay. And let's say, for example, you experience the way your parents talk or your culture or your religion or whatever gives a lot of messages that it's not good to be rich or it's not good to be successful. Rich people are mean or selfish, or maybe you experience your parents arguing about money all the time. And like for me, the richer, the more successful my dad got, the more it really seemed to hurt our family. So I had made a decision early on, business, all that is not good. So I rejected that. I'm just going to be an artist and a philosopher and, you know, whatever. So you have these experiences and they get separated into two piles. I am not this, I am this. The I am not becomes your shadow, and the I am becomes your ego or your identity. And then we create a map of reality, and we think it's true, but it's really just our map. And we try to live into that. And what happens is because the shadow is still a part of us, we have to use a lot of energy to resist it and reject it consistently. So, for example, let's say selfish is a shadow for you. It means you don't, to you, being selfish is bad because of your experience. So you've been working most of your life trying to be not selfish, i.e. trying to be selfless or giving or a good boy or girl or a do-gooder or a helper or whatever. But most of that is being motivated by a desire to not be this other part of you, because to be that means pain or shame or fear. And the good news is that you actually do end up developing some positive traits. Like in trying to not be selfish, you do become more loving or more giving or more sensitive to others. The problem is you're only operating with half of you. You're operating with only one of the polarities and, you know, the positive side, and you need the negative polarity too to have a complete circuit. So you find eventually that doesn't work. You start to feel burned out, resentful. You notice you struggle to have enough for yourself. You notice that you're always taking care of others and you're never getting to take care of yourself. And then you project it on them and you blame them, or you just keep shrinking to try to find some place where you can take care of yourself, but it never comes. And so with the shadow, you have to ultimately turn around and embrace it. And in the area of wealth and abundance, I've already mentioned some of them. You know, rich itself could be a shadow for you, the rich part of you or the selfish part of you. Or even if you believe rich people are mean, you have to learn to embrace the mean shadow. And it doesn't mean you're going to become mean. Shadows like mean or greedy or whatever, when they're embraced, which I do talk about how to do this in the book, they activate your power. They activate your ability to really ask for what you want and need and to go for it without shame, without blame, without guilt, and without apology. You come from a powerful place, whereas if you are trying to get what you need from a destruct or from a shadow place, that's when you actually tend to do things that are destructive to yourself and to others. So I show people how to identify their specific wealth shadows or abundant shadows so that they can reintegrate these fragmented parts of themselves back in again, really give those parts of you a seat at the table, give those parts of your voice an opportunity to speak up. And it's pretty powerful. This is really one of the, just in general, I never expected it, but the shadow work is kind of one of the greatest revelations, especially for a lot of heart-centered people, because we've been given the message we have to actually just try to be a better and better and better and more positive. And again, like I said, that's only half of it. The values conflicts can be similar and connected, but basically a values conflict is where you get the message that you can either have this value or you can have this value, but you can't have both. Like, for me, the more successful my dad got, as I said, the more pain it seemed to experience in our family. And so I believed I could either have love and my art and connection with people, or I could be successful and have wealth. And that was what got wired into me. And so I was always struggling back and forth between these two values that I wanted, but that I believed I couldn't have both of them. And it's not true. It's not true that you can't have love and wealth and have a, you know, big heart and all of that and be, you know, successful. It's just wired that way. So I help people to identify, what are your values conflicts? What are these values that you want both of, but they've been wired in you in a way that they're at odds with each other, and how to rewire them back together again so that you can begin to know and believe, the more wealthy and successful I am, the more love and connection I have. And the more I honor my need for love and connection, the more wealth and success shows up in my life. You can begin to make them on the same team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I'm not surprised that the shadow work, you know, has some of the most dramatic effect, you know, because it's mm-hmm. it's one thing that, you know, so often we place things in the shadow for certain reasons, and shining light on them can be, if we want them in the shadows, you know, there was a reason for them there, but bringing them out into the light, you know, is a process, you know, that we can, you know, easily resist or avoid if we want to.
Yes. Yeah, and the biggest mistake, I think, if I could say one thing about the shadows, one more thing, is just the belief that there are good qualities and bad qualities. And it's not actually true. There's only good, but there is polarity. You know, a circuit, a battery has the positive and negative charge, right? You wouldn't try to plug in a battery without both positive and negative charge, right? And the same thing is true with all these qualities. You can't really have abundance if you only are being selfless. Or if you're only being selfish, you have to have both. It's like in-breath, you're taking the air for yourself, selfish. Out-breath, you're being selfless, you're giving of the air. You need both to have a cycle or a circuit. If you just try to breathe in all your life or even all day, you'll die. If you just try to breathe out all day, you'll die. And if you don't receive the air back, if you just breathe in and then breathe out, but you don't receive, you'll die. So the law of circulation says that you can't give what you don't have, and you can't keep what you don't give, and you can't sustain what you won't receive. So you need the whole cycle. You need a complete circuit. And when you have a circuit, you have circulation. When you have circulation, you have energy, you have power, you have progress, you have growth. And bottom line, that's the key to abundance, is circulation. Wherever there's not abundance, there's a broken circuit, which leads to stagnation and diminishment and ultimately death of whatever system. You know, like a body of water that doesn't have circulation, it doesn't have an inlet and an outlet, it becomes a swamp. If it only has an outlet, it becomes a dry riverbed. If it only has an inlet, it overflows and floods the land and does destruction. If it doesn't have an inlet or outlet, the water literally dies, and very little to anything can grow there, and animals won't even drink out of it, and the whole ecosystem starts to break down. Same thing is true in our life.
Absolutely. Well, Derek, we're a little past halfway through the show, so I want to take just a quick break and invite listeners, if you would like to call in and ask Derek any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And again, those of you listening in the chat room, if you have any questions, feel free to type them in. And then when we come back from break, Derek, I want to talk a little bit about the seven abundance activators, because there's just a few in there that I was quite surprised. So I kind of would like to, you know, a high-level kind of talk about those, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Derek Rydell. And we are talking about his book, The Abundance Project, 40 Days to More Health, Wealth, excuse me, More Wealth, Health, Love, and Happiness. Again, you can find out more about the book by visiting the website, www.theabundanceprojectbook.com. And you can also find out more about Derek's other work, his blog, other books, all kinds of information at his website, which is derekrydell.com, and that's DerekRydall.com. And again, I do have links to both websites in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Derek.
Yes, I wanted to add one little piece about. The link to the book, theabundanceprojectbook.com. Obviously, you can buy the book anywhere books are sold, but if you go there and buy it at Amazon or whatever through that page, you're also going to get over $1,200 in really, really valuable bonus coaching. You're going to get to be part of the Abundance Project Mastermind and Book Club. You're going to get to have live coaching with me and or my master coaches in the Emergence Academy. So there's a lot of real valuable stuff there, all of it geared towards helping you get real results from the book. As I like to say, I don't want the book to become more shelf help, where it makes your shelf look really pretty and you walk by and feel so proud that you have all these great books on them, but you never get the results. I want you to actually get the results the book promises. So if you go get it at that link, I'm going to support you in doing that. And I also have, as I said, the Abundance Project podcast. So while you're waiting for the book to come, you can be doing all the trainings at the Abundance Project podcast. And also there's the Emergence podcast if you want to go even deeper.
Okay. Now, are those available through either of the websites or both of the websites? Or how would people connect?
To get the podcast, you just go to iTunes. You look up the Abundance Project or Emergence, and you can register, and they'll automatically be downloaded. I believe it's also on Stitcher, for those that don't have Apple. So, yeah, and if you have a problem, you just go to my website or email my support team, and they'll direct you.
That's great. Okay, perfect. Okay, so one of the areas in your book that seems to be a major component of the abundance project and process are 7 abundance activators. Now, as I was going through with them, a couple of them kind of surprised me in the sense that I wouldn't have thought about it as an activator. So, if you wouldn't mind, would you share just kind of a high level look at what those are? Obviously,
sure.
People would get that more in depth in the book, but just to give an idea.
Absolutely, and these are also called the 7 gifts that give you everything. And the way to understand it is, we were talking a little bit before about circulation, and the most critical piece to understand about creating more in your life is the realization that everything is already within you, right? That all the abundance, the real source of abundance, is within you. And so whatever's missing in your life is what you're not bringing, what you're not giving, or what you're not circulating. And so, for example, if you want something more or different to come into your life, you have to start letting something more or different come out of you, because that's where it is. It's not out there. And whereas most people are waiting for conditions to change before they think they can have, be, or do, it really is the other way around. As Gandhi said, we must become the change we want to see in the world. We are a divine power plant, and we have to start generating the energy. The power plant doesn't receive the energy, it generates it. So on that note, or understanding that principle, that whatever's missing is what you're not giving, we have to start to find out what do we need to start bringing more, giving more in our life. And these 7 gifts or activators are the 7 channels through which you can start generating and circulating this energy and start opening up all these channels so that you're not stagnant and blocked, but start really creating a flood of the energy of abundance in your life. And the 7, I call them the 7 gifts and the 7 abundance activators, but I like to say the 7 gifts because of how they break down. And that is giving out, giving up, giving away, giving in, giving thanks, giving to yourself, and forgiving. And those, and you notice that there's very little, if anything, to do with money there. But these are the channels that you begin to generate and circulate this energy that's inside of you that's been blocked. And we can certainly talk more about one or more of the channels, go a little deeper so people can understand it.
Yeah, I would like to discuss a couple of those in particular. Now, let's kind of maybe do a highlight of each. So giving out, what are you talking about? Just giving of oneself in kind of everyday life? I mean, anything?
Yeah, so I'll break it down a little bit more. So giving out represents your time, talent, and treasure. So how this works is that mostly we're there's things we want to do in our life, but we say, I don't have time. And we're waiting for conditions to change before we'll give of our time in that direction. Or let's say we want to be philanthropic and support and volunteer, but we don't have time. And someday when we have enough of this and that, we'll start giving our time to the things that matter most. But it actually works the other way around. We must start giving of our time, even if it's just a little dribble. We must open the spigot and start giving our time to the things that matter most, no matter what. Like I said, even if it's just, I want to write a book, but I don't have the time, and when I have enough money, and when I retire, when I, whatever. No, you must begin. And even if you just give 5 minutes a day, or whatever the case may be, you start the flow. And the other one is talent. So, you know, people say, well, I want to start a business, or I want to be a speaker, teacher, singer, coach, whatever, but I'm not good enough yet, or I got to wait for some future date, or I got to get some kind of outer validation. No, you have to begin giving of your talent wherever it is now. You know, I was giving talks in my underwear to nobody in my living room before anybody ever heard me. I used to just spontaneously give talks while on road trips, and my wife would wake up and look over at me and go, what are you doing? You look like a crazy person. And I probably did, but I was expressing. You know, I used to write and share. I used to blog when nobody was paying attention to me. But it was like, when the energy and the desire comes, you need to give of it. You need to let it circulate. And then what happens is more comes through you, more and more and more and more. But when people are waiting, as I like to say, whatever you wait for, you are waiting with and weighing it down. And this is the ultimate weight loss program. And so you have to give of your time, give of your talent. And then treasure is specifically about money. And that means it's based on the ancient principle of tithing, where you have to give some percentage. If tithing means 10, but you could start with less, but you have to give some percentage of your substance, your treasure, in the direction of your source of inspiration. And if you don't have that right now, maybe it's to charitable causes, but it's not a quid pro quo. It's not like, well, if I give, then I'm going to get something back. No, it's a practice of understanding that you're a channel of life, and life needs you to put itself on display. And it's just, if you don't let it flow through you, life doesn't get to flow. And it's like in nature, the branch is what puts the nature of the tree on display and brings the fruits and flowers and nuts to the ecosystem. If that branch doesn't let that flow through it, it doesn't fulfill the potential of the tree. And what happens to a branch that doesn't bloom? It gets pruned, right? What did Jesus do to the fig tree that wasn't producing figs? He cursed it and it died. It's a metaphor of the principle. So we have to begin to let this circulate. We have to circulate our talent, which is our unique fruit, our substance, our treasure, and our time, all in the direction of our deepest desires and the way we really want to show up in the world. Again, it doesn't mean we have to do it all at once, but we must begin to do it. We must open the spigot and let it start to flow. So that's giving out. Mm-hmm. Just one of them, and that's a lot, but that's just one example of one of the gifts or one of the activators.
Yeah. Now, the one that might confuse some people is giving up, because the idea when one thinks of giving up, you think of kind of it being a hopeless situation, that there's no need for any attempt to do, act, or be a particular thing.
Right. Right. So giving up is about, or maybe I sometimes get confused myself because I've said these in different ways before, but giving up or giving in is about, giving up is not, it's a form of surrender. And
okay.
It's about, well, actually giving up in this case, I think, is letting go of, because there's giving away, which is about materially going and finding all the stuff we're holding on to in our physical life, like all the stuff in your garage, your closets, your car, your office, your desk, all the clutter, all the stuff we can't let go of because we think we might need it someday, but we never use it. And it's all stuck energy. It's all stuck story. And when we start to give that stuff away, we actually open up the energetic channels in our life physically, kind of like feng shui. And it's interesting because this was even talked about in that hit book, The Magic Art of Tidying Up, when she said, when you start getting rid of and giving away all the things you don't really need, that don't really add joy to your life, there's almost a mystical thing that happens. And she was right. And so that starts to open up the channels in your life energetically. Giving up is giving away, letting go of the things, all the furniture and the clutter in your mind. So there's certain habits and patterns like criticism, gossip, different things that we don't want to let go of because there's some kind of a payoff, or so we think, and we think it's protecting us, or we think we need it as a defense, or there's some kind of release it gives us. And I identify what those are. And when we get rid of all the clutter and the patterns that we don't really need in our mind, it does the same thing. It opens up the channels of our mind to make room for what's trying to unfold next. And I'll give a quick example of the physical one, the giving away. My partner, her mom was trying to sell her house, and it had been on the market for a while. There had been like 30-some people that had seen it, and it wasn't moving. And my partner went out there and helped her give away a lot of stuff, get rid of a lot of stuff that her mom just didn't want to or just hadn't done, clearing out the attic, clearing out the rooms. Literally in 24 hours, they had their first legitimate offer, and that went on to be the person that bought the house. So this is how powerful this can be. Now, the giving up is equally powerful. When I begin to become willing to give up some of these, this clutter of furniture I'm holding on to in my mind, suddenly the new ideas I've been waiting for or the new solution I've been waiting for, I can see it now because I couldn't before because it was blocked by these other patterns. Now new life could flow through my mind. And the giving in is the surrender one. And that's the one where you're not, first of all, we have to understand what real surrender is. Real surrender is not acquiescing to a limited condition. Real surrender is what the acorn does when the oak starts to break through its shell. The acorn doesn't surrender to the broken shell and go, oh, I guess I'm out of luck. I guess I'm just going to die now. No, it's surrendering to what's emerging. And so when we're surrendering, when our life seems to be falling apart or not working, it's almost always because there's something bigger and better trying to emerge. And we have to learn to yield or surrender or give in to what's emerging, not acquiesce to the problem. And I obviously go into much more detail about that because otherwise we're in resistance. You know, we're in resistance to what's emerging because we're too focused on trying to hold on to the current form of our life. Like an acorn, believing it's just an acorn, if it had self-consciousness, it would be like, oh my God, my shell's breaking. I'm losing all my protection. My life is ending. I just want to be I just wanted to be the best nut in the forest. What's happening to me? You know? And obviously there's something bigger happening, and thankfully the acorn can't resist it. But we can. And until we learn how to give in to that, that's emerging.
Okay. Well, that's perfect. That's a wonderful kind of overview of some of those activators or gifts. There's one more topic that I kind of want to ask a question about, and that is that at the end of the book, you have a topic in the conclusion talking about unconditional living. What would that look like? What would unconditional living look like?
Yeah, so that's interesting. Nobody's actually asked me about that on any of the interviews I've done. That's really interesting and cool that you asked about it. Well, the idea of unconditional living is living no longer dependent on conditions. The human conditioning is that the belief that outer conditions determine who we are, what we can be, do, think, and feel. And that is exactly false. It's completely 100% false. Outer conditions are just an effect of what's been thought about up to that moment. It's like the wake of a boat. The wake is the evidence a boat's been there, but it's not driving the boat. The individual and the current energy they're getting it and the direction they're steering it is what's driving it. Our conditions are not driving our life, not even at all. But we've been deeply conditioned to believe that. And so, you know, we look at our schedule, we look at our body, we look at our bank account, we look at the economy, we look at the government, and we take all that data in. We'll even look at our current mental and emotional state, all of which is also still just an effect of previous thinking. And we'll go, okay, I guess I can't really do this or be this or have this because of all these conditions. And the truth is that we want to think of it like that's the movie I'm projecting right now. And the movie's obviously not stopping me. It's just the movie I'm projecting. I can go write a new script, make a new movie. And so we have to learn how to live more from this internal life and be more of a vision holder than a problem solver. As Einstein said, you can't solve a problem at the level of thinking that created it. If you're stuck in the problem, trying to wrestle with it, that's you're stuck there. But you have to. The solution is outside of that level of thinking and feeling. So unconditional living means you are beginning to live more and more and more from insight instead of eyesight, more and more from the source instead of resource, and learning to get in touch with the vision or the seed that's unfolding, and then learning to bring yourself into greater and greater harmony with it. And as we've been saying, learning to start be the generator of your life rather than the reactor. You know, the word human comes from a Sanskrit term for man. It means the dispenser of divine gifts. So we didn't come here to get anything. We came here because we have something to bring. And the more our focus is on being and bringing that rather than reacting and trying to control or survive, the more and more we get free of conditions. And at the bottom line, all the great masters have only been teaching that, how to get free of conditional living so that you can live freely and fully no matter what is showing up in your life. And the result of that is your life gets better and better and better.
Yeah, it certainly would be. We're basically at the end of the show here, Derek. So is there any final words or any thoughts that you might want to share with the listeners that we hadn't covered in this show?
Sure. Well, you know, we've covered a lot. We've gone down the rabbit hole.
We did.
And several rabbit holes. And it could sound to some people like this is so conceptual or so complex or theoretical or just so much. They're like, oh, my God, that's too much for me. But, you know, obviously we're touching big, broad strokes in the book,
right.
The Abundance Project. I walk you through in a very step-by-step, simple way to understand and to live it in a very practical day-to-day way. Ultimately, it's very, very practical. And ultimately, I'm very much committed to helping people see how practical it is and get those results. So, as I said, if you go to the Abundance Project book, grab the book there, I'm going to give you the support you need to make this practical and to get those real-world results.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, I noticed that you do have exercises in the book for people to go through. So that practical,
oh, absolutely. Very, very practical.
Yeah, that practical application is wonderful, I think. So, well, thank you for your time, Derek. I really appreciate you sharing your insight and knowledge with us.
Oh, thank you so much for providing the platform, and it's really been my pleasure.
Great. Thank you again, everyone. Today, my very special guest has been Derek Riedel. We've been talking about his book, The Abundance Project, 40 Days to More Wealth, Health, Love, and Happiness. And again, you can find out more by visiting the website, www.theabundanceprojectbook.com. Again, and remember, if you purchase his book from that website, there's a link to Amazon and one to Barnes & Noble, that you also get those other gifts and bonuses. So definitely check that out. And also, again, you can find out more about Derek in general by visiting his website, which is DerekRiedel.com, DerekRiedel.com. And again, I do have a direct link to that website as well in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me, that's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Bite Radio Me, And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.